As we come close to this mystery that we celebrate next Tuesday, we have these texts. We have this parallel, the Annunciation to Zechariah and the Annunciation to Mary. There is another Annunciation to Joseph. Whether we're going to treat of that or not, I'm not quite sure. But what we have to prepare us, you see, is this prophecy of Isaiah. Achaz, the king, not an upright man, was frightened because they were coming down from the north to attack Jerusalem and take it, which would mean he'd go off as booty and be a prisoner the rest of his life and so forth. So, of course, he was frightened. And Isaiah goes and says, you know, don't worry. God has decided this is not the time. And says, ask any sign you want from God. And Achaz says, no, I wouldn't tempt God. What he means is, I don't want God to get that real, because then I'm going to have to change. Sometimes people don't want signs because, not because their faith is so beyond signs, but because it makes God so real that you can't avoid him anymore. And that would be our friend Achaz. And that's why Isaiah answers, oh, listen, house of David. Now, in evoking this notion of house of David, he's calling the promise made to David. When David wanted to build a house for the Lord, remember, and Nathan said, yes. And that night, the word of the Lord came to Nathan, saying, go tell my servant David, you know, when I was wandering in the desert, did I ask anybody for a house? I took you from pasturing sheep, and I made you the king. You're not going to build me a house. I'm going to build you a house. The house of David. And Jesus is of the house of David. The enormity of that favor that God gave. So for eternity, the very living, eternal Son of God will be called Son of David. And so, now, the sign had to have something to do. It's a sign to Achaz. Huh? So this virgin, well, you've heard the story 100 times. The word in the text is Alma. Alma doesn't mean exactly virgin. There is a word for virgin, Betula. But this word means, among other things, the queen mother who will give birth to the king. The future king, and this has some special aura about it, you know. And the word that Isaiah is using in the language of the people just north of them, in Ugarit, means this, you see. So there's an aura of holiness and sanctity and mystery about this use of this word, okay? But everybody knew that there was more to it than the birth of a son to Achaz. So it was kept. Kept as sacred. Kept in the book of Isaiah. Kept for us. Because he wasn't just prophesying a son to Achaz. He was promising a son to a woman who would have a very special relationship to God. That's why the Jews themselves, when they translated their own Bible into Greek, used the word parthenos, which is the technical Greek word for virgin. They were trying to mediate this notion of this special relationship to God. The only women who were virgins in that culture were those who weren't married. And everybody was married. And so this notion that this Alma would be somebody. And as I say, the Jewish tradition, remember, when you look at these texts, you have to think of how they are received, not just how they're produced, you know, how they're received. And God's people received this understanding, this as a prophecy. And so, and it's translated Parthenos, virgin. And so, people waiting for this marvel, whatever it's going to be, that will bring this glory to the house of David and fulfill all of God's promises to his people. And year after year after year, house of David, house of David, how many psalms refer to that promise of God to David made through Nathan, huh? How many psalms? Just sometime go look. You'll see how many, 132, 89, I mean, how many psalms recall and keep alive in the soul and the spirit of God's people this prophecy. And then we have the whole story. You see, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall call him Jesus. And now, he's not just a surprise. You see? Will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of David, his father, and he will rule over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end. This is somebody quite extraordinary. And when Mary says, how can this be? The answer is, the Holy Spirit will come upon you. And the power of the Most High will overshadow you. This will be a divine mystery in which all the angels, even all inanimate creation, will be in awe. In the womb of this young, beautiful, holy woman will be born God himself, coming into his world. And Mary says, you see, behold, I am the handmaid of the Lord. If you want to know what went on at that moment, you have to pray and beg the Holy Spirit to open up for you the depth, the intensity, the purity, the understanding of that yes. And the history of the world changed. Now God waited for her yes. You know what I mean? He's God. He could say, Mary, you're going to be the child, the mother. He never does that. He waits for our yes too. And the whole world is standing on tiptoe, hoping she's going to say yes. Now, of course, God knew the one to whom he made this proposal. He knew she'd say yes. But he waited for her yes. Now, we're doing the Psalms this year in the... we got 2 minutes. This is a psalm. Number 15 and 24 are like bookends. And they talk about the same sort of a thing. This is a pilgrim psalm. Who can get up God's mountain? Is that just the mountain there in Jerusalem? No. Who can ascend? You see, the Lord's are the earth and its fullness. Now we're talking about God. And he owns the whole universe. He created it. Now who can ascend the mountain of the Lord? Go up to Mount Sinai, Mount Zion, but also go into the very presence of God. He whose hands are sinless and whose heart is clean. That takes all our being. Our hands are our whole body. He whose body is sinless who doesn't do things with his hands, his eyes, his mouth, his feet that are against the law of God. So his hands are sinless. His body is sinless. Who's this? Mary. Who else? And whose heart is pure. Nothing inside. It's okay to behave well, but what's going on inside? You see? Her heart is pure. And this last one, Lo yasa nafsho lashav, and doesn't lift up his soul, his whole being, in expectation. There's a line in Deuteronomy, a law, which says, you know, when a man is a day laborer for you, you pay him that night. You pay him that night. Because he has lifted up his soul for this. He's waiting for this. This is his eyes are fixed on this. He needs it for his family. And so to look up and to look for stuff and to be anxious and to lift up your soul, Lo nasaj nafsho, doesn't lift, lashav, for nothing. If you're going to lift up your soul, let it be for God. That yearn for God. Not just for any old thing, a new Buick. No, don't lift up your soul for that stuff. Only for God. And the one whose body is pure, whose heart is pure, and whose inner soul is not looking up and putting this, you know, all your expectations on what you're going to get for Christmas. Lashav. But for God. That's Mary. So then the rest of the psalm, which you can meditate on yourself. Here comes the King of Glory. He's going to enter his temple. That's Mary. That's where he took up a dwelling. We said amen this morning, remember? Help us to follow the example of Mary, always ready to do your will. At the message of an angel, she welcomed your eternal Son, and filled with the light of your Spirit, she became the temple of your word. Let's just ask the Lord, open up our hearts and minds today. We're surrounded with such marvels, such wonders, such beauty, such mercy. Let it kind of hold us in awe today. And let's pray.